The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com. Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today, Thursday, April 12th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to join Normal today. We're a week and a day away from the biggest stoner holiday in America, and that is 420 coming up Friday of next week. We've got a week's worth of special programs for you next week, and we have a special extended podcast planned for next Friday as well. High Times Magazine and the Normal Foundation are partnering together on 420 this year to get everyone in America involved with reform. Again, the best way to do that is to join Normal right now. We have links to do it on our website today at normalaudiostash.com, or just go to norml.org and go to the Donate Now or Join Now sections of the website. Now, last year on 420 was the Normal Conference in San Francisco, California. This year's Normal Conference is happening in the fall, also on the West Coast this year. And the guest of honor last year was Tommy Chong. Tommy was here on the program last Friday for a live interview here on the Audio Stash, and he gave an absolutely hilarious talk at the 2006 Normal Conference. We've only played little snippets of it here on the Audio Stash, although the whole thing is available on the Normal Events podcast. So today, we've got a special for you. We're going to play all of Tommy Chong's talk at the Normal 2006 conference. Tommy is now on the Normal Advisory Board, and he and everyone else at Normal invite you to get involved with reform again today. Do it right now at normalaudiostash.com or norml.org. So without ado, we'll hear Alan St. Pierre, Normal's Executive Director, introducing Tommy and Tommy Chong at the 2006 Normal Conference.
I want to just share a frank story with you. There's two or three of you that were there for this. I was in town a couple of months ago for a fundraiser out in Oakland, and a good friend of mine, Anthony Feldstein, asked me to go to a movie premiere, which was AKA Tommy Chong. And I had heard about it, I heard the good reviews about it, but I hadn't seen it. And I wanted to see it. And I was having some dinner with some activists I really respect and like. And I said, listen, I gotta go, I'm gonna go see this documentary about Tommy Chong. And some of them went, that asshole. I mean, why would you go and want to see anything about Tommy? I mean, he's been nothing but an anathema for drug reform and for marijuana law reform. And we sort of mixed it up a little bit, and I didn't really take the same view at all. So then I went into the movie theater, and we watched which we will see. That's the next thing after Tommy speaks. We're going to see this movie, and it's a terrific documentary that shows you the behind the scenes of getting arrested, going to jail, and then the aftermath of it. So after I saw the movie, I met with the producer and director and got to meet him, Josh Gilbert, who will also be speaking here today. And I said to him, you know, we'd love to have Tom come. We've never asked Tommy to do anything. We've never asked him to come speak at a national conference or come to a hemp fest or anything like that. So we'd love to have him come on out. But we're not a speaking fee type folks. And what you'll see from the movie is a catharsis, I would argue, and I think Tommy can speak about here, that has led to this day. And I'm so proud and so happy that Tom has joined us here today. And we have an award, of course, but I'd like to read you to it because it's very special for Tommy. And that is a Board of Directors Special Appreciation Award for Thomas Chong, Los Angeles, California, to acknowledge his special role in popularizing the marijuana smoking culture in America in recognition of the personal price he has paid for his outspoken advocacy when he was selectively prosecuted for offering pipes for sale on the Internet, and in grateful recognition of his continuing efforts to achieve a rational marijuana policy in this country that legalizes the responsible use of marijuana by adults. I really don't have to introduce him except to thank him, Thomas Chong. Quick shot for the camera here for this guy. How about it, friend?
Oh, please, 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 sit down, sit down. Well, I want to thank, what's his name here? no, really, thank you, LeClaire, is it? And I want to thank everybody here for coming to a free meal. Well, I guess it isn't free. You guys paid, didn't you? Yeah. You know, it's really, really fun watching stone people eat, man. You get that intense look on your face, man. Because when you're stoned, you'll eat shit the dog won't eat, won't you? And it's a good thing with the kind of food they eat. Well, anyway. But it's really nice being, you know, free again. Jail, you know, wasn't that all that bad. In fact, I want to tell everybody, all that Bubba stuff, you know, that homo stuff, it's not true. It doesn't hurt. but it does hurt when the government is doing it to you. Yeah. Because at least, you know, if it's your cellie, he might kiss you in the ear or something, but the government doesn't do anything like that, you know. And I think what happened to me shows you how scared this government is. You know, I've always, you know, when I do interviews, people ask me about this government because it's so obvious, you know, that they are, you know, not just slightly retarded, but, you know, totally. I mean, when you watch Bush speak, it really is like watching the kid from the special class, you know, trying to talk about physics. The people that are under Bush, mentally, physically, you know, they show you that other side. For instance, they show you about the real dangers of the real dangerous drugs in this country, namely alcohol, for instance. Now, alcohol, when you think about what happened to Dick Cheney's friend, that gives you a good example of alcohol abuse. And I think, I know because from experience that Dick Cheney's Secret Service guys smoke pot. I know that for a fact. I do know that. And the reason I know that is that I sold them bongs. Yes. Yes. And they pose for a picture. They have me and they've got the bong in their hand, they're posed, and they said to me, I didn't ask, but because I knew they were cops, but they said, hey, you know who we are? And I go, no. And he goes, we're Secret Servicemen. And I said, oh, great, you know. Who are you protecting? They go, Dick Cheney. So I know that one of those guys was supposed to be taking care of Dick Cheney the day he shot his friend. So I can imagine what happened. Here's a drunk Dick Cheney with a loaded weapon, right? And the stoned Secret Service guy looking at Cheney thinking, uh-oh. Someone's in trouble here. Then he looked over and he seen Dick's friend, Harry, in the line of fire. And so he yelled to Harry, "Duck." And Dick Cheney goes, "Where?" At least that's something that could have happened. And our president, George Bush, is a very good example of probably what happens when you take the most dangerous drug, which is methamphetamine. Methamphetamine, which is also legal. Cough syrup. Buy it in any store. You got to cook it up, but still, it's legal. Methamphetamine makes the user do weird things when they take it. It's a speed, so the user walks around the house looking for something to take apart. They become tweakers, and so they take shit apart. And a lot of bikers are tweakers, and so a lot of bikers will take their bike apart, and then they'll try to put it back together, and they'll have like 6 boxes of parts left over. Because the dangerous thing about tweakers is that they can take the shit apart, but they can't put it back together. Much like George Bush has done to this country. Now, a lot of people criticize the Democrats for not going after Bush. But their Democrats are playing it smart, man. You don't interrupt a guy when he's shooting himself in the foot, you know. You don't say, "Oh, don't do that." You just stand back and let those guys do what they're doing. And they're doing it. And they're doing it, man. And the good thing, the good news, you know, that I bring is that you can go through what I went through and come out a hero if what you went through is righteous and honest and decent. And that's what... Yes. When I'm a Canadian. I'm from Canada. And so I'm down here and, you know, I've been down here for years and I got fans all over the place and I got a fan in the immigration, place, you know, and they called me up, "Hey, Chong, you want to become a citizen?" And I go, "Yeah." He said, "Well, we got a celebrity thing going, so come on down and we'll swear you in. You'll be a citizen." And so I said, "Oh, cool, man. You know, I always wanted to be a citizen." So I went down there. And you had to study. You're supposed to study and you're supposed to learn about America and that. So I learned, you know, a lot of things. I learned the Constitution, you know. And you have to take an oath when you become a citizen. And when you take an oath is to uphold the Constitution. And part of the Constitution is, you know, freedom of speech, you know, freedom for the pursuit of happiness, you know. And if smoking pot isn't both, man, I don't know what is. You know? Because what's the worst thing you when you get high? What, you're going to eat too much? Is that a crime? You know, is you know, like, there's no such thing as pot-fueled rage, is there? Like maybe pot rage would be a guy, you know, sitting in traffic driving too slow. And people peeping their horn and pot rage would be something like... I mean, you know, the government is so weird. When I was in jail, they made me take a drug education course. They did. Hey, I signed up, man. I wanted to learn, you know. Shit. Trouble is, I ended up teaching it. And part of the thing, the first thing they say, you know, marijuana is a gateway drug. Well, I got to disagree there, man. Marijuana is more of a doorway drug. Because what happens, you smoke a joint and you get a brilliant idea, but what you need to fulfill that idea is on the other side of the door. And the minute you walk through that doorway, you have no idea why you're walking through that doorway. Which is why I keep a bong in every room of my house. And when I got busted, see, the problem with potheads is that we're not doing anything wrong. Therefore, we're not paranoid. We get paranoid 5 months later, you know. I was like 5 months into my sentence before I woke up in jail one night and said, fuck. I shouldn't have put my picture on that bong. And when we do get paranoid, it's never when we're supposed to get paranoid. It always, you know, like the weirdest thing, you'd be driving, going to a party, and you got your dope in your pocket, and you're driving, and you look in the mirror, and you go, oh, shit, I'm being followed. Of course you are. You're on a freeway. But what do you do? First of all, you slow down to about 5 miles an hour, so you really are being followed, you know. Move it, stoner. And then the other thing stoners do, they sneak the pot out of their pocket, and then they sneak it into their sock. Like the dog will never find it there. And neither will you. And then you're at the party, you're walking around all day going, I've been fucking ripped off, man. And potheads, man. They're friendly. I've seen potheads talk to cops with a joint in their mouth, man. Excuse me, officer. Oh. Never mind. And so it's really hard to, you know, how are you going to escape that? When they raided my house, they asked me, you know, do you have any drugs in here? Yeah, of course I have, you know. And I did, but luckily, well, I don't know, luckily or not, I had two plants growing on the roof, you know, and I just got rid of them. Well, I didn't, you know, I'd harvest them and give it away. I never sold any pot. I couldn't bring myself to sell any because, you know, you give it away, you know. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. See, the government and the big business, you know, they can't think of any way to make money off pot. At least they think they can't. But if you look at the economy today, in fact, the economy in the world, is all because of the pot. It is. It's you, when you talk to anybody, you say, marijuana is the number one cash crop in this country. And that's Canada, and that's Mexico, and that's United States, that's Great Britain, that's, you know, the whole world. It's the number one cash crop. So think about it. It grows. It's money growing. And it's worth more than gold. And it's friendly, and it doesn't hurt you. It helps you. So, you know, God, in his infinite wisdom, has given us a way to survive, you know, and be healthy and be happy. And to get along. And this demonized, you know, obsessed, paranoid, coke-snorting government wants, you know, they're all nervous. They're all messed up, you know. And then we have the karma issue. Because pot really is good karma drug. I know coke is the worst karma drug. Coke, I mean, I remember one time I was snorting coke with a bunch of friends, you know, and you get in that dumb coke conversation. Nothing worse than a coke guy talking to another cokehead. It is the worst, man, because no one's listening to anybody, you know. They're just looking at their lips waiting for it to stop so they can start talking, you know. And usually the conversation is something like, we gotta do this, man. We gotta fucking do this. We gotta fucking do this now, man. If we don't do this now, someone else is gonna do it, and we won't be able to do it, man. So we gotta do it now. As I was in one of those conversations, and then, you know, the sun came out, and it's time to go home, and I go out to get in my car, and there's no car. And to show you about karma, it wasn't my car, it was my ex-wife's car that I borrowed. And I went out and I went to get in my car and there's no car. And you know how stoners, you know, or cokeheads, you know, when something's missing, they don't look for it. They just look where it was, you know. Just stare and can't figure out, like it might materialize if they look hard enough. So I'm staring at where my car was. And this old wino looks at me, hey man, is that your car? What are you looking for your car? And I said, yeah. He says, it's down there. Down where? And I looked down there and the car just, for some reason, you know, said, well, I'm tired of waiting. I think I'll go down there and crash into that telephone pole down there. It did, for no reason. He said, man, damn the thing. That car just took off, went down there, and wrapped around that telephone pole. Coke karma. Worst karma in the world. Worst karma in the world. On the other hand, pot karma, the best karma. The best karma. Because it's good. It's heart. Makes you love. Makes you feel good. You're not harming. You want to give people things. You know, cokeheads never want to give anything. You know, coke people, you know, look for someone that can buy more coke. Hey, you want to snort with me? Come on. You know, potheads, here. Strangers. You want to part? Here, have a joint. You know, it's a loving drug. It's great. It's not even a drug. It's a herb, and it's beautiful. You know, yeah. Now, fuck, I had a great point, but I can't remember what it was. But it's okay, man. It's okay. Can I get something to drink? Anything, a water or something? Get a little cotton mouth, you know what I mean? But I know, you know, in closing, I'll tell you one thing, man. I know another reason I know that pot is good for you is because my cat loves to get high. And cats are fussy, man. Cats are, well, you know, you've had cats, you know what I mean? They're very intelligent creatures, and they won't eat just anything. You know, they have to be, you know, cats, you gotta fool them and everything. My cat, the first time I got him stoned, I didn't mean to, I just didn't see him in the room. And I didn't realize he was stoned until I watched him walk off a table. And he didn't land on his feet. He's walking on, he took that one extra step, went right over, then he started clawing, you know. Then he got hung up with one claw and he's hanging there, you know. He looks at me, he goes, I'm okay. No, I'm okay. And he finally got loose and then he started pretending. Then he realized he was a cat and got all cool, you know, just sitting there. Oh, he would have got away with it except he got cottonmouth. Yeah, he walks over to me and starts going. I thought I was going deaf. Is that cat meowing? Then I realized he's fucked up. So I figured, boy, I better give him a little kitty drug test. So I threw him at the curtains and he didn't stick. But he was so stoned, he's thinking, wow, I'm flying, man. Now, every time I want to call him in from outside, I don't go kitty, kitty. I just make a sound like a bong. You know? That cat will come running 50 miles away, man. Then he gives me that look like, quit fucking around, man. Then he turns into a junkie, a little cat junkie, you know. Fired up. Come on, man. I want to sit in the window and look at shit. Hey, throw me at the curtains, man. I wasn't ready. But I wish that thought I had in mind would come back, but it will. It might. I don't know. But, you know, when Cheech and I started doing comedy, you know, way back, people ask us, you know, how did I get into the pot humor? Well, before pot humor, there was, we worked in a strip club, and so we used to do a lot of naked girl kind of sex jokes, you know. And then we started working in front of kids at the time, you know, back in the early 70s, 60s actually. And everybody, we'd look out there, everybody was a pothead, you know, they're like, you know, that's what you did. And so we started having to relate to the audience. So we started doing these pot jokes, whatever. We just hang out with one of the audience. We'd end up, you know, finding out where they're at and everything. And that's how we did it, you know. And I was a musician, so I had a lot of musician kind of chops, you know. And looking at life through a musician's eyes was very easy. And that's how we got into the pot thing, you know. And then Cheech and I, we broke up. And it was weird because, you know, I didn't know we were broken up. for about 4 years, you know. You know, I'm a pothead. I thought he was just on vacation. I don't know, you know. And then I went to the last Cheech and Chong movie, and I wasn't in it, you know. And then I looked, and I realized I did some thinking, you know, because, you know, I really missed him, man, you know. And, yeah, because he used to carry my dope for me. You know? Well, he never knew it, you know. I figured if I told him, it would just make him paranoid, you know. It was true. One time we were in Canada, and it was like the last night of the gig, you know, and the last night of any gig, you know, people throw dope up on the stage, you know, and we had a ton. We had hash and all sorts of good pot, you know, and we tried to smoke it all in one night because we had to come down the next day, and we got through Cheech's half real easy, you know, and we couldn't put a dent in mine, you know, so he told me to throw it away, and I really meant to throw it away, but if somehow it ended up in my gym bag in my sock, you know. And so I was going to, you know, bring the gym bag and just walk across the border. But when I got to the border that morning with Cheech, I looked at the guy and I knew, the immigration guy, and he was looking at us kind of funny. So I knew he was going to stop us. So I put the bag down and I was just going to leave the bag and walk away. And for some reason, Cheech goes, "I'll carry that for you, man." And you know that moment when you can save your friend's life and you don't? I looked at him and said, "Okay." So we're walking across the border up to the guy in the desk, and he's looking at us, and he's looking at Cheech, and he goes, "Hey, you, what's in the bag?" And I swear to God, Cheech threw the bag on the table and says, "It's full of dope, man." And the guy looked at Cheech, you know. I looked at Cheech. I started inching my way to the door, you know. And then the guy looked at Cheech again, and he goes, "Hey, aren't you guys Cheech and Chong?" And we go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Hey, here, go on through, man." Yeah, right. Yeah. Love you guys. So we're walking to the plane, you know, and Cheech, he looked at me, he goes, "Man, that was easy. We could have brought that dope." I said, "I'll carry the bag now. Thanks." But I don't know, man. You know, people, I've often wondered why Cheech and I broke up. Then I realized why we broke up. We got rich. We got rich, and I learned one thing, man. You can't make a rich Mexican do shit, boy. Anyway. Oh, Lord. But anyway, you know, I want you guys to see the movie. It's good. I kind of ruined part of it, but don't worry about it. And I like my little thing here. I'll put it right up to the Cheech and Chong awards. We got a lot of awards, you know. We won a Grammy. We won all sorts of shit, you know. Yeah, it's good. And I want to tell you something, man. In closing, this movie you're about to see, Josh, the director, you know, he protected this movie like a bear would protect a cub. Because all sorts of people came at us and tried to take it from Josh and, you know, Hollywood and take it and put it through the ringer and do the whole thing, you know. And Josh kept saying, no, this is special. We got to keep it. We got to protect it. And he protected it. And so we come up with a plan. What we're going to do when you see the movie and you'll see why. What we're going to do, we're going to show it to selected audiences all over the states, and we're going to go in partnership with Normal to do it. Yes. Yes. It's going to be a Normal event. And as you come in and as you leave, there's going to be people from Normal sitting up there, you know, signing people up, you know, for petitions and to, you know, to register to vote. Because really and truly, you know, the best thing you can do when you're under pressure, when you're under fire, like I was, and so many people in this room, you know, have gone through the same thing that I went through, and even worse. And the only thing that you can really do is just let go and let God. That's the only thing you can do. Because the universe The universe is much, they got plans for people that mess with them. With, you mess with the universe, Katrina's comes on your ass. Yeah. And that's gonna happen. And so as activists, now like, he said about me, you know, not being an activist. My job isn't not to argue with anybody. My job is to make people laugh. My job is to see the humor in life, and especially with the potheads, because I picked this subject myself because it's me. That's exactly who I am. I'm you. We are together. We are what you like, I like. And what you see is funny, I see is funny. That's why we're doing this. And part of my philosophy has always been is to kick back, man. You know, like they wanted me to do this marijuana march in Vancouver, in Calgary. And I told them, I said, marijuana and marching, somehow, I don't know. Because when I get high, I don't want to go anywhere, man. You know, they say it makes you lazy, but I don't know, man. I think it does, you know, because I remember one time I was laying on the couch watching television, and I couldn't find the channel changer. But I noticed if I moved my ass a certain way, it would change anyway, you know. Never did find that changer. But I'll tell you one more thing in closing. More people were stoned, there'd be less violence in the world. That's a fact. Because they've done studies, man, and they found that you can't hurt anybody if you can't find your car keys. Thank you very much.
Was Tommy Chong at the 2006 Normal Conference in San Francisco last year. That was his complete talk. We have it as a separate download up at the Normal Events podcast, and we have links to that on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Make sure you get involved with Reform. High Times Magazine and the Normal Foundation are working together for 420 next week. We'll have a series of special programs for you next week right here on the Audio Stash, but we want to make sure all of America can enjoy 420, not just on April 20th each year, and do it legally. So join us to make sure that we can roll back senseless marijuana prohibition in America. Do it today at normalaudiostash.com or NORML.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana, and over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Listening to NORML's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's NORMLAUDIOSTASH.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow.